Fado music from Portugal, which features in Simon Broughton's documentary Marisa and the Story of Fado, shown in Prague last week as part of the MOFUM Music on Film Festival. Broughton is a leading television director whose work includes a number of documentaries on music from around the world, shot in locations ranging from Portugal to Afghanistan. He is also editor of Songlines magazine, a leading British periodical devoted to world music, as well as co-editor of the acclaimed Rough Guide to World Music. I spoke with Simon Broughton while he was in Prague last week to present a number of his films at the MOFUM Festival. Broughton is actually a regular visitor to the Czech Republic and has made two documentaries on the music produced in the Terezín concentration camp during the Second World War. He actually first came to this country as a young student in 1978 to work on a nature reserve in Moravia. I started by asking him what his first impressions of communist Czechoslovakia had been like.
It was a culture shock, although you sort of expect that because, you know, it was very much a different regime. Prague, I remember, and I walked around Prague quite a lot, seemed a very closed and hidden city. I mean, now it's just bursting with restaurants and cafes. There were so few, and there were lots of closed doors, and you felt there was a lot going on, but it was sort of inaccessible. When I went down to Moravia, it was a nice international group of people, and we had a fantastic time. I mean, it was great being in the open air. Beer was less than 3 crowns for half a litre. And so, you know, we just had a lot of fun, frankly, and made a lot of friends. And there's a very close Czech friend of mine who I met at that time and is still a very good friend today.
You came back again 7 years later in 1985 to shoot a documentary on musicians and the production of music in the Terezín concentration camp. How did your interest in this project come about?
After university, I started working for the BBC and working in the arts sort of programmes for BBC Radio. And there was a festival in Britain, a Czech festival, and these things are regularly organised. And through that, I heard about Terezín and the music that was written in Terezín and the artistic life there. And so I wanted to come and make this was a radio documentary at that stage about music in music and the whole arts scene, really, in Terezín. And I came out, you know, you had to get official permission from the authorities. I've got a sort of strange, old-fashioned-looking press pass that I was given by the communist authorities to come and do it. There was a little bit of sort of, you know, talking and checking papers and that sort of thing. But then actually they let me get on with it, and I hired a car, drove off to Terezín. And I'm pretty sure there was no following and prying into what I was going to. I mean, Terezín was not a controversial subject. But at the same time, actually, we did on the side a thing about underground or unofficial theatre in Prague. Things like Theatre on the Balustrade and some of the writers and directors who were either banned or working but sort of on the edges of Prague at that stage. And so it was, you know, it was clearly a movement that was going on. It wasn't a dramatically radical thing. And we did have an interview with Havel in that. It sort of gave me a taste of sort of the more sort of political side of what was going on here.
You came back 7 years later and revisited this theme, but this time made a television documentary. What made you come back to the Czech Republic, or Czechoslovakia as it was then as well?
The reason for coming back was actually the story of Terezín. I mean, what happened there, this ghetto where there was an incredible creative life, is such a strong, fascinating story that I wanted to come back. I mean, certainly with television, it would go to a much wider audience. And the other thing, things were starting to be discovered, new things. New music was coming out, stuff that had been hidden in attics, new information about the music that was composed there was being discovered. So it was sort of quite an exciting time, and I felt very strongly that it was a music that had been unfairly neglected and was actually of very high quality and deserved to be heard. And of course, with the change of regime, it was possible to come and do it as a co-production with the BBC television and Czech television. And it, in a way, it was a great thrill for me, having been here 7 years before doing underground stuff, you know, now being here working officially with Czech TV and, you know, being sort of a serious collaborator with professionals in, you know, a former Eastern Bloc country. And it was one of the first, I think, co-productions of that sort between the BBC and Czech TV.
Your film on Terezín included a lot of, I would describe them as highly charged and moving interviews. Was there any particular interviewee in question whose story stuck with you after it was made?
Working as a filmmaker, you know, you do come into lots of stories through the course of your career, and some of them you make the film, you do what you've got to do, and then somehow you move on and go on to another subject. Terezín, I mean, as even as we've talked, you can see I came and made a radio program, then came back and made a television program, and that actually wasn't the end of it. I've written about Terezín stuff since then. It's a story that has fascinated me, and I think above all for the people that I met who were there, particularly this lady Zdenka Fantlova, who was an actress, a young actress. She was about 18 when she went to Terezín. And, you know, far from looking back at it like, you know, some awful experience in her life, there's a sort of nostalgia for the excitement and the creativity and things that went on there just because the circumstances were so extraordinary. And that's a very inspiring thing. So that, alongside the sheer quality of the music that was produced there by some very great composers. Terezín is certainly one of those things in my life that I've done and has stuck with me. It's not something I've done and moved on elsewhere. I don't know whether I'll go back and do anything else in Terezín, but it's something that will certainly be a part of my life, you know, ever afterwards.
Do you still regularly visit Prague or the Czech Republic? Professionally or for personal reasons?
I've come back for several reasons. I came back once for a fantastic New Year's party in a friend's cottage in the countryside near Karlovy Vary. And then I came back again to do a documentary about 4 years ago with Czech TV for a series called European Roots. And we did a film about carnival in Moravia, in South Moravia, in a little village called Strany. And there's an incredible, vibrant tradition there with raw fiddle playing and pig killing and slivovica drinking, and it's very intense, wonderful stuff.
You're well known as like being an aficionado of all kinds of world music, and the Czech Republic isn't actually one of the most famous places in terms of indigenous music, but are there any musicians or styles of music here that have also caught your eye?
The strongest musical impression I had actually was from this South Moravian music, and there's a fantastic region called Hornatsko, which is close to the Slovak border, and there's a wonderful young-ish violinist there called Miroslav Minx, and he's a great player, and I think it's fantastic. There's been a sort of revival in this. You know, during the communist period, all this music became rather cheap and sanitized and corrupted. And there's now a new generation of people who are sort of reinterpreting the music and going back to its real rustic roots, you know, not this fake lore, as one could call it, that was generated by the former regime.